Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Section 10 podcast. Here are your hosts, Jared Carabas, Pete Blackburn, and Steve Perrault.
What's up and welcome back to the Section 10 podcast, episode 144, presented by Barstool Sports. It is the home of your soon-to-be 2018 World Series champion, Boston Red Sox. My name is Jared Carabas, and I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that. And this right here, this is not John Feidelberg, because his family abandoned him on Christmas, and you can't teach that. Bada boom, realest guys in the room. Steve, how you doing?
What up, what up? 2018 in the building!
In the motherfucking building. And I gotta tell you, Steve, the 2018 World Series Championship addition to the show, That was impulse. I was looking at it, and I was like, it's the home of your back-to-back AL East. Like, I'm ready to turn the page on back-to-back AL East division champions, because I think we've said on the podcast a couple times, that doesn't mean shit when you don't do anything in the postseason. Like, we're not the Atlanta Braves. Like, we're not a team that just wins the division every year and then doesn't win the World Series. Like, we're moving on. It's 2018. It's the first episode of 2018. We're turning the page, and we're bringing optimism into the lives of Red Sox fans, because I feel like for Red Sox fans, this process has just been difficult. It's been difficult to cope with. The whole idea of, are you getting Stanton? Are you not? Oh, you're not. He's going to the Yankees. Are you getting JD Martinez, or are you not? Oh, we're going to drag this thing out for fucking ever. Because Scott Boras' clients, he usually wraps this shit up around Christmas time. Now we're in January. Now it's like, what the fuck? But at least we can say it's been that way across the board. The top 10 free agents are all still out there. You name them. Hosmer, Darvish, Arrieta, Lorenzo Cain, the whole deal. They're all
out. It's really just Wade Davis. He's the only one that's off the
bus. That's it. I don't even know if he's a top 10 free agent, to be honest with you. I don't even know if he's in that top 10. But in terms of position players, everybody's still out there. So, yeah, it's frustrating if you're a Red Sox fan. It's like, Dave, what the fuck? Hurry up. But it's not really Dombrowski's fault. This is more on Scott Boras. And we found out a little detail today. I think it was Bob Nightingale, USA Today. And it was so casual. Like, if you read the story, it was like a story about how slow the offseason's been. And he's like, P.S., the Red Sox made JD Martinez a five-year offer. And he also said the Padres made a seven-year offer to Eric Hosmer. And like, that should be the fucking headline, Bob.
I'm not going to tell you
how to do your job, Bob.
This happens too often. And like, the headline of the article is how dead the offseason is. And this guy has the biggest story of like the offseason so far, minus the Giancarlo stuff. Yeah. Lead with that, you idiot. Like, he had a seven-year deal by the Padres. It's like Eric Hosmer is an absurd
seven
deal.
Paragraphs down. It's like,
he's like, oh, and by the way, my December was great. Thank you for asking. Had a lot of fun with the family. Oh, and little side note, seven-year deal for the Padres with Eric Hosmer. It's like, dude, what are you're burying the lead, you idiot.
Yeah, I can't really see Hosmer turning that down. I don't see the Royals won't match that. Who else is really in on Hosmer? I feel like no one else is really in on Hosmer. The Red Sox and the Royals were that market. And here come the fucking Padres, seven-year offer. And he's probably going to go and experience some losing seasons, but I don't see anyone else matching 7 years. And then when you come to JD Martinez...
Dude, wait, real quick on Hosmer. Like, there are worse things than being the face of the Padres and living in San Diego. That's my favorite place in the entire country. Like, that.
Donnie Orsillo.
You get Donnie Orsillo calling your games. Like, there are worse things for Hosmer to do than go down there. I know his girl Casey's going to be on the other side of the country, but still.
Well, I mean, you know, she gets time off. She can go to fucking San Diego. How you doing?
Eric, I bet she gets Google Hangouts.
Take in some fucking Padres baseball. Say what's up to Donnie Orsillo up in the booth. Where they have? Do they? I don't think they overlapped at Nesson, right? No.
Who? What?
Casey and Donnie Orsillo? I don't think so.
I don't think so. No.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that they know each other. Yeah. I'm sure the Nesson brethren will They stick together. They tend to stick together.
All these people know each other, yeah.
Yeah. So, Hosmer, good for you, pal. You deserve it. I mean, it's definitely not the 10 years. I blogged that last offseason that Hosmer was looking for 10 years. You'll take 7. I don't think anyone is going to top 7. And then J.D. Martinez, Bob Nightingale's like, oh, by the way, P.S., Red Sox offered him a 5-year deal. 5 years. He's looking for 7. $210 million, that's an average annual value. I'm surprised at how many baseball fans, anytime that I tweet AAV, that don't know what that means.
It sounds like a porn thing, honestly.
Yeah, AAV, average annual value. It's pretty simple. You just take the fucking total dollars, you divide it by the number of years, and boom, there's your average annual value. That's today's math lesson from the Section 10 podcast. He wants an average annual value, it looks like, $30 million. So if you have a 5-year offer, we can assume it's somewhere in the region of $150 million. Maybe it's not $150. Maybe Dave Dombrowski gave a low ball offer, because the main takeaway here, the Red Sox are they're bidding against themselves. There's no other team that is hot on JD's trail. The Giants are in on him, but they've been bargain hunting. They've been going after the Lucas Dudas and the fucking Logan Morrisons and the fucking Jay Bruces of the world. And then you have the Arizona Diamondbacks, Martinez's former team, who want to bring him back, but they can't afford it. So they were trying to shop Zach Greinke. No one's going to take on that contract. I think he's 34 years old now. So I don't think anyone's going to... I'm sure someone would like to take Greinke, but not for... They're not going to take on the rest of the contract. So good luck to Arizona. I think Gammons threw out the Blue Jays. I think he's just probably sitting in a room these days, just fucking throwing out random shit. It's like, I'm Peter Gammons. People are going to believe it.
And he's letting all his drafts get all over.
The fucking Blue Jays. Why not? Yeah. The Blue Jays are in on them.
And then there was DMs and everything.
What was the other team? The fucking White Sox could be a sleeper for JD Martinez. I'm not going to write that one off. The White Sox certainly have a loaded farm system. They're rebuilding. They have every prospect in the world. I think they have something like 9 out of the top 100 prospects in baseball right now. So they're going to start adding some veteran talent to supplement those prospects as they come through the system. Shout out Michael Kopech, who I think made it up to AAA last year, dominated. So we will be seeing him sooner than later. Yoan Moncada already at the major league level. The White Sox, yeah, okay. I'll recognize them as somewhat of a threat. But as of right now, this is the only reported offer on the table of JD Martinez. That's not to say that it's the only offer that he has. It's the only offer that we know is on the table, 5 years. And if he's looking for 7, I wrote about this on Barstool today. I can see a situation where the Red Sox might go that 6th year, but I positioned it as a vesting option, sort of what they did with Hanley Ramirez. Because JD Martinez, I mean, no one's really talking about this aspect. Doesn't really play a lot of games. I mean, he's not really reliable in that sense. He's almost like JD Drew. JD Drew came here and he was averaging like 120 games a year, but you took that because the on base and, you know, he had some pop and great defensive right fielder. Not that JD Martinez is a great defensive anything, but the bat is certainly there and you have the option to DH him, which will preserve him presumably. But if the Red Sox want, if it's really that much of an issue, if JD Martinez refuses to sign a 5-year deal, what if he just really doesn't want to come to Boston and he signs like a pillow contract and then joins that monster free agent class next year? That's not an option that's being talked about. I don't think that'll happen, but Scott Boras has done that before. That happened with Adrian Beltre. Adrian Beltre came off his run with Seattle, signed a 1-year deal in Boston, crushed it, and then he cashed in. I think he got 5 years, $90 million with the Texas Rangers, and he's been there ever since. So I think it's unlikely that Martinez will sign a 1-year pillow contract, knowing that there's a 5-year offer from Boston on the table. But if you look at that free agent class next year, you got the Harpers, you got the Machados. And then after that, it's Josh Donaldson, who's 32. So he'll be 33 by that time. And then after that, JD Martinez will still be the best bat in that class. For as great as it is, there's a lot of pitchers in there. Everyone talks about how great the 2019 free agent class is going to be. It's really, if Martinez were to join that class, he would be, you know, put him right next to Donaldson in that tier. He's not Harper. He's not Machado, but he would be that next tier after with Josh Donaldson. So he could still get paid. But what I think could happen, if he doesn't want the 5 years and no one's going to offer him the seven, it could be 5 years with a 6 year vesting option based on plate appearances in year 4 and 5. I think Hanley's deal was over the last 2 years of his contract, he needed 1,050 plate appearances over the last 2 years to kick in that last year of his contract, which is this year. I think he needs like 500 and something plate appearances for next year to kick in for him. So I can see the Red Sox doing something like that. You know, if that's the concern, you know, you're a guy that doesn't really durable is not a word that many would use to describe JD Martinez. Then it's like, all right, we'll give you the 6 year if you can prove that you are durable enough towards the end of the contract.
I still wouldn't be surprised at all, though, if they just keep the stare down going and they just hold out. I know I was reading up today on other Boris clients, and basically two of the last five off seasons, he's waited to get the huge deal for his client. He had Prince Fielder in 2011, 2012.
Yeah,
that was a 9 year deal for $214 million. They wanted 200. So they got more than they even asked for. And then Max Scherzer in 2014,
Red Sox really fucked that one up.
Yeah, 7 years, $210 million with the Nationals. So, like, he has a history, obviously, of holding out and waiting to sign these deals. The Fielder one was on January 25th, and the Scherzer one on the 19th. So, I don't know. I mean, this stare down might keep going. I wouldn't be shocked if both sides, and we kind of already knew this, right? The 5 year thing. Like, I know it hadn't really been reported, but
5 years is not going to get it done. I can't see him just being like, all right, I'll take the 5 years.
That's what we were saying. We've been saying the whole time, Dombrowski 5 years, you know, Boris says seven, and they just do that little stare down for a month, which it's been at this point. But the biggest thing for the Red Sox side that benefits them is, yeah, who else is in the mix? Who else is even in the mix?
I mean, we mentioned those teams, Gammons, whatever, the Blue Jays. That's my, I guess, bad feeling about this, is that I think the longer it goes on, the more likely it is that a team is going to swoop in and the Red Sox are going to be fine.
Okay, I thought you were going to say the longer it goes on, the more likely it is that he takes that pillow contract and does the year. Okay.
No, I think the longer it goes on, the more likely it is that some fucking random team is going to be like, all right, if 6 years gets it done, let's make a splash. And then they do the fucking 6 years, and then they just take it because it's better than Boston's offer, and they've been, you know, firm on the we're only going 5 years, take it or leave it. 5 years, take it or leave it. Like that, if that's what Dave, because we don't know if it's a take it or leave it type offer from Boston. We don't know what the language that it was submitted to them, but let's just say they do say, you know, 5 years, take it or leave it, because we know that no one else has made a better offer. That doesn't mean that someone can't come in with a better offer later if they know that it's like, all right, now that this report is out there, now that other teams are aware of what Boston's offer is, 5 years. What if there's a team out there that's like, yeah, we could go six if it means that we're going to get the player. Sure.
But I honestly wouldn't be surprised if it is a 5 year take it or leave it. I wouldn't be shocked if that's how Dombrowski has pitched it, because he's said multiple times since then that, like, he'd still be fine with the team they have now going into the season. I think everything he said to the media, and I know we take that with a grain of salt, but basically everything he's said has implied that we're not going to bend over backwards for your guy, Boris. We're not waiting for JD Martinez to make our season. And I understand a lot of that is bargaining, and you're trying to get the price down and the years down. I get all that shit. But at the end of the day, I'd be baffled if they gave him seven. I don't think that's going to happen. Nope. And your 6 year plan, I mean, that makes sense. He'd have to earn that. But yeah, in a perfect world, they would give him 5 years. Like, how much would you be willing to give a JD Martinez on a year to year basis? Because I feel like if they just added that contract, then maybe you could get five at them.
Well, I mean, you just made the point in going back to Boris's history that when they put out, it might not be the years that they want, but they'll get that average annual value.
But I'm just saying, they'll get that, yes. But, and a lot of times he will get the years, but then you go back to who's the competition for Martinez right now.
Yeah, which is fine. I'm just looking at it from a hypothetical sense where it's like, my gut is telling me that the Red Sox 5 year offer is not going to be the best offer that they get.
Yeah, like I would agree with that. There's going to be somebody that swoops in, probably.
Yeah, some asshole team is going to be like, well, the 5 year offer has been on the table for a while, so let's just swoop in with six and see what happens. And then, boom, they end up with the player.
And isn't that kind of what happened? Didn't that happen with Fielder with that 9-year deal? Like that didn't, wasn't that like, holy shit.
Like, yeah. A lot of teams were like, holy fuck. But that's kind of what they were looking for. They were looking for that deal and everyone was just laughing at it, being like, they're not going to get that from, I mean, look at his body type. Is that going to hold up? And it didn't. So maybe teams are learning from that.
Yeah.
You know, that these long-term deals don't usually work out.
And the Red Sox have never done this. When have they signed
the Red Sox have been really good at not handing out contracts that look really bad, either like a year or two into it or at the end of it. They've been really good at avoiding that.
I mean, what's the longest contract they've given out since Manny? Like 4 years?
Yeah, they're usually like three.
I'm just saying between like what, Agon probably got four, and then Poppy's gotten a 4-year deal. I know, I think Lugo got a 4-year deal. Like, they don't give out.
Napoli got two, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, they don't give out these 4, 5, 6-year deals.
People forget Ryan Dempster. I mean, 3 years. That's.
That was weird to see. Where, it's not bad.
That's pretty good. Ryan Dempster. And I think he retired after the second year.
Yeah, he was like, just keep the money. I don't want to do this anymore. That's what Ryan Dempster did. He like handed the money over. I thought that was
a good return on investment. It's like, we'll give you 3 years and you're only going to use two of them. So
yeah, I'm just going to go to MLB Network. But yeah, I think this whole stare down hasn't really changed. I mean, whether it's 7 years, whether it's 5 years, all this shit is rather confusing.
Just the whole, you know, process of Dave Dombrowski saying, hey, Scott, what's the deal with that J.D. Martinez guy? Does he want to play baseball for the Boston Red Sox? Scott calls him back and he's like, hey, Dave, 7 years, $210 million. If you give us that, we'll give you J.D. Martinez. And Dave's like, well, that's really confusing to me because my offer is 5 years. And to my knowledge, that's the best offer you got, Scott. That's the best offer you got. So what are you going to do? Are you going to take it? Are you going to leave it? Scott calls him back and he's like, I'm just really confused because I'm telling you, I want 7 years and $210 million. And you're saying you're giving me five? And you think that you got yourself a deal, Dave? Let me remind you who I am. I'm Scott Boris. I got Prince Fat Fuck Fielder $900 million. He couldn't even walk down the stairs 3 years into that contract. You're telling me I can't get seven and 210? And Dave's like, I'm confused at what you're trying to tell me right now. You telling me J.D. Martinez is going to cost $900 million? And Scott was like, 900? He's going to cost you $1 billion. So Dave's like, $1 billion? Scott, are you kidding me? Do you even understand how many tickets you could buy online for sports and concerts with $1 billion? And Scott was like, I got the fucking SeatGeek app. Dave, you think I don't know how to get good deals on a sports and concerts? Dave's like, I'm sorry for offending you, but I was just really confused at this whole process.
So that's really funny you bring that up because SeatGeek is always the first place that we go to look for tickets, as you mentioned, to a sports or concerts. I think it's a great spot for that. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites, ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. Why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, our listeners get an instant $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Run that back one time. Our listeners get an instant $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase, baby girl. To get your $20 off on tickets, download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter promo code section 10. That's section 10. SeatGeek will send you an instant $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code section 10 today. Big coupon, bitch.
One thing that I wanted to hit on was I've been seeing a lot of this take lately. Fans being like, I don't want J.D. Martinez. They're scared of the big contracts, which doesn't make sense to the next point. But I've seen Red Sox fans say, pass on JD Martinez and then go into the 2019 free agent class that we were talking about earlier with Harper and Machado and then try their best at one of those two. And to that, I say, that's a bad idea. Why is it a bad idea, Steven? Because the Red Sox need a big bat. This much we know. They were last in the American League in home runs. You've heard this a million times. They need a big bat for 2018. If you wait a year, you're not punting the season. You'll still have a winning record. You might not win the division, but you might get a wild card spot. And then what? You get back to the division series and you roll the dice there with, you know, having good starting pitching with Chris Sale, David Price, Drew Pomeranz. That's great. But you're not going to have the big bat in the middle of the order, and that's a problem. You need that. You need that right now. So if you, I think it's fair to say the Red Sox are the favorites to land JD Martinez. If you pass on Martinez, you go into that free agent class, you are not the favorite for Manny Machado. You are not the favorite for Bryce Harper. Josh Donaldson, like we said, getting up there in age. I think his best years are behind him. He could still be serviceable. That's, I'm not going to say he's going to come here and suck, but he's not going to be the MVP Josh Donaldson that he was in 2015, especially over the life of whatever contract he's going to command as a free agent. So what I'm saying is that if you pass up the opportunity to sign JD Martinez, which you are the leader to do that, you're not guaranteed anything next year in free agency in terms of an impact big bat. So you could punt on 2018 and you might just miss on 2019. And then what happens after 2019? Chris Sale's a free agent. Rick Porcello's a free agent. You got a lot of your talent. David Price could opt out after 2018 next year. You got a lot of your mainstays, your big names, your talented core that could be bye-bye. So now's the time, and Dave Dombrowski knows this, to pounce on opportunities like a JD Martinez to add him to the middle of your lineup, because your window to win was 3 years. It's now 2 years. If you don't do anything this offseason, then it's down to 1 year, and that's a problem. So especially when you have Manny Machado probably going to the Yankees, Bryce Harper probably going to the Cubs, that's a problem.
Right now, Jared, what I want the listeners to do, what I want you to do, is just, you don't have to close your eyes, but just for a brief second, just think about this and be honest with you. Don't lie. Be honest with yourself. Do you think Manny Machado or Bryce Harper are going to sign a long-term deal with the Boston Red Sox? Let that sit. Do you think that's going to happen? Do you really think that's going to happen? Because that's not going to happen. Anytime that comes up, I'm like, no, they're not going to sign here. The Machado stuff drives me absolutely insane. Trading for Machado to get him for 1 year here is the ultimate confusing process. If you had to give up any more of your farm system, which is already depleted, to get Manny Machado here for a season, thinking that that gives you some kind of advantage to get him in a long-term deal, you're an idiot. I tweeted about this, and I love the reactions I got. They're like, oh, they're going to try to get Machado so they can have like first dibs at him when he's a free agent. That's not how it works. And these guys don't care about that. They don't care about who they were playing for. They care about what money they're going to make with the next team, the length of the deal with the next team. So anyone that thinks that 1 year of Machado would give the Red Sox some advantage when he hits free agency is a moron. That's just not going to be part of that potential deal. I don't know. Like, why is that rumor even coming up? How is that a thing?
I was surprised at how many like knowledgeable Red Sox fans had that take, being like, you need to trade for Machado and then convince him that he likes Boston and then sign him in free agency. Because how dumb are the Red Sox going to look?
Oh, don't. Yeah.
When they give Eduardo Rodriguez and fucking Michael Chavis and Jay Groom to the Orioles for Manny Machado, and then he comes here for a year and then signs with the Yankees. So and now the Yankees
gives
are
the Red Sox the middle finger in the press conference.
Orioles are better, and it would that would be classic Red Sox.
And then everyone leaves the Red Sox. Yeah. And now they're the worst team in the division.
Yeah, that's wow. That is so dumb. And to the people saying like, well, they wouldn't trade for Machado unless he got a, you know, an extension window to negotiate with them. That's not going to happen.
Not going to happen. You idiots. Stop.
The Orioles are not going to do that. The Orioles are not going to be like, yeah, sure. We'll let you just negotiate with our franchise player to, you know, make sure that he's with your organization within our division who we're going to try to compete with for a division title. Let's just say about over the next decade. Yeah, sure. Here you go. You can have him. And I hope this really works out with you guys. I hope that you get to keep him because that would be really great for us in our future.
I would like to think the Red Sox are smarter than this, but then again, I don't know. If you really go out and get Machado for 1 year and give up some of your best remaining prospects, like
what if the people that were kind of just throwing together packages, what if it is Bogarts?
It could be Bogarts. It would probably be Bogarts because Bogarts, then he would go over to Baltimore and Manny would be your fucking shortstop.
Yeah. If it's Bogarts, Eduardo Rodriguez goes back to Baltimore and you give up two prospects because they want pitching prospects. You only really have one. So it's Jay Groom goes over there and he ends up becoming the next Clayton Kershaw. It was talked about when he was drafted. And let's just throw in Michael Chavis anyway, because he's blocked by Devers at third base. Do you understand how fucking stupid that is to give up that much talent for 1 year of a player when you know you're not going to get a negotiation window? That's not going to happen. And there is literally, you are not increasing the odds of him signing in Boston as a free agent by any margin. He is going to go to the top bidder, whoever gives him the most money, the most years. That's where he's going. If it's in Japan, that's where he's going. That's how baseball works. There's no guy. I mean, maybe Cliff Lee was the only guy I can recall that took less money because he liked the Phillies. But I mean, by that point, he was still making hundreds of millions of dollars. I get that. I don't think 1 year in Boston is going to convince a guy like Manny Machado to take less money because the Yankees are going to throw in the highest bid. We already know that. They have so much money coming off the books. They have a young core that just came within one game of the World Series last October, and then they just added Giancarlo Stanton. So let's just say they don't win the World Series in 2018. Well, guess what? Now they have a shitload of money to get even better and add to that talent. And guess what? Manny Machado has been linked to the Yankees for a long time. So I can see him easily just being
Is a Yankee. Just look at him. If you didn't have a jersey on, you'd be like, oh, he plays for the Yankees, right?
He's the perfect Yankee. He's the perfect Yankee. He is a superstar. He is going to, I mean, Manny Machado, watching him as a Red Sox fan and getting to see him 19 times a year. I mean, I obviously see him more because I fucking watch all the games. But if you're a Red Sox fan, you get to see him 19 times a year. You know how special of a talent Manny Machado is. I mean, he's going to win an MVP before it's all said and done. And I would love to have him in Boston. I would love to, but I am not stupid enough. I am not naive enough to think that Boston is so great. It's so desirable. He'll just come here. He'll fall in love with the Green Monster and all the teammates that he has with the Red Sox. There's no chance that after 1 year playing with the Red Sox that he'll even consider playing for another organization. He's a Red Sox for life. Like, that's just not going to happen.
At the friendly confines of Fenway Park. Yeah, like, come on now.
Wake up from that dream, because that's what it is. He is going to the team that offers him the most money, and it's probably going to be the Yankees.
It would literally have nothing to do with performance, too. Machado could come here, win the MVP.
He could win the World Series.
But I'm just saying.
He could fucking build a statue of Manny Machado outside Fenway, and he'd be like, thanks for the fucking statue, but I'm going to the Yankees.
He would wait for the day that they put the statue up, and he would sign with the Yankees that day. He does not care about what Boston would give him over the course of a season. He doesn't care at all. And I'm already scared, man. I'm already seeing the press conference with him holding up the Yankee uniform. And then you would have the three, I think, top guys in baseball in terms of my, oh, fuck, home run power rankings, the OFHRP.
Yeah.
I think you would go Giancarlo, Judge, Machado, and that they're all going to be on the same team hitting
Gary Sanchez. Rockets.
And Sanchez, they'd have the top four on the oh fuck home run power rankings, the OFHRP.
Everyone is sleeping on Gary Sanchez when everyone talks about how
that's the worst part, by the way. That is the worst part. Gary Sanchez is going to go somehow. He's going to be the underdog this year, which is bullshit. If you take all his stats, they're insane. If you look at the numbers when he's played, it's ridiculous the amount of power stats that he's putting up. And he's somehow going to go, like, you know, kind of sneak into the 2018 season. I'm probably most worried about what he's going to do next year compared to the other two guys, because you kind of already know what you're going to get out of Giancarlo and Judge.
Hold on. You don't know what you're going to get out of Judge. I think Judge is going to have.
No, you don't. But I'm talking power right now. Like, I think power is going to be there.
What is a regression year for Judge? Like, if he still hits 39 home runs, yeah, that's a drop off, but it's still fucking scary. Lineup to have.
Dude,
those
if he's in 40 plus, he's done his job to me.
Yeah, which he's certainly capable of. I think, you know, if you go back to, I guess, spring training, like roughly around this time last year, having Gary Sanchez called up in like August of 2016 or whatever it was, and he just hit a million home runs going into last season, 2017. Sanchez was the guy that everyone was like, this guy's going to hit 40, 50 home runs. Judge, we didn't even know if Judge was going to make the team out of spring training. Like, Judge just kind of came out of fucking nowhere. Like, this was a guy that we all knew that he had power, but did we know that he could put it together over the life of an entire season? We didn't know. And then he did, and everyone forgets about Gary Sanchez, even though did he almost hit fucking 40 home runs last year? Like, I feel like he's still like almost hit 40. I feel like he still did what everyone thought he was going to do. And then Judge just had this fucking ridiculous season.
Gary Sanchez had like the Marcell Ozuna effect last year, where he was still putting up numbers, but he's on the same team as a guy that's, you know, at 50 plus home runs.
Yeah, it's scary. And
Gary is scary.
I don't think that I'm being a hater here. I think
team is fucked. That team's gonna be so good. All right, continue. I'm sorry.
I'm being a realist here. They're still going to be ridiculous. They're still going to be scary. But everyone looked at Giancarlo Stanton's season last year and was like, this guy does this every year. He doesn't. I mean, that was the anomaly of his entire career. He gets hurt a lot. His career high, which he had done twice, was 37 home runs. Still a lot. Still respectable. Still very scary. Still an impact player. But everyone just thinks he's going to come into Yankee Stadium and hit 60 home runs every year. That's kind of wishful thinking. And then Judge, like I said, could easily regress. We saw how shitty he was in the second half until September rolled around. He turned into an MVP again. So, yeah, like you look at the lineup and in your head, you're like, they're between Judge, Sanchez, and Stanton. They're going to hit 60 home runs each. Like, that's just the nightmare that exists in all of our brains. But it's not out of the realm of possibility to expect regression from Judge. You know, Stan could come back down to earth. You don't know. Sanchez, I think, is still going to be Sanchez. And then fucking Manny Machado is going to go there in a year anyway. So fuck it.
It's ridiculous. I want nothing to do with that. Real quick, I want to touch up on the Dustin Pedroia video that you definitely had seen. And I had. Can we? All right. No, I am for sure not an idiot. I am very glad that I can be. I'm an idiot for separate things, but not this. I'm glad that I was watching with my older brother. We were watching the CSN. I'm just going to keep calling them CSN because NBC Sports Boston takes forever to say. So CSN was showing a Sounds of the Year on their like last show before the new year. And they had that Pedroia bite about, can I just go home after an interview question? I had no context at all. I didn't remember that. Obviously, we watch a ton of games.
Drop it in so that people can hear it.
All right. Yeah. So this is the bite from Pedroia.
That you're not concerned about the defense. I mean, what did we make, four errors? Maybe we've got to play better.
Is there a conversation that takes place after a game like this where it's kind of...
Like what?
Ugly?
No, you show up tomorrow and you play your ass off. That's it.
Do you think there was any intent on that fastball to hit Betts?
Bro, I don't know. I'm more concerned that we're trying to play better baseball.
If there was, would it be an issue?
Can I go home? This is ridiculous, man. We're trying to play baseball and win games. I don't have time for this.
So I hear that, and this was a quick, it was like a montage that CSN did. So it happened really quickly. I didn't really have much context. And my brother found the clip, and he sent it to me. And it's maybe my favorite like Red Sox interview ever. Like, it's so perfect. I have a ton of questions. Drellick picked a bad week to be off Twitter because he, like, his last tweet was like, I'm taking a little time off. And then I tweeted this and it blew up and I haven't heard anything from him. So I'm going to have to get his like full account on what happened there. But it's Pedroia just being classic Pedroia and wanting nothing to do with these interviews. It's only Drellick and one other guy that are asking questions, which is also kind of odd. I don't know where everyone else was.
Yeah. So I can explain this to you.
Can I finish my point? Go ahead. And so the longer it goes, I'm like, he doesn't want to answer these questions. He doesn't want. And then Drellick asks him the question about like, would it mean anything if Mookie had gotten hit? And you knew he was going to get a great answer, but that's one of my favorite answers of all time. Can I go home? And it's not like he's asking the PR guy. It's not like he's asking, you know, Farrell, or it's like he's asking basically Evan Drellick if he can go home for the night. So I thought that was epic. But you have the full backstory, J-Rod. What do you got?
Basically, I mean, this is the difference between and media members got very offended when I did the Alex Cora interview for Starting Nine. And I was like, yeah, it's a world of difference when you're outside of the Boston media market and you just see things through a different scope and it's not as like negative. It's not nearly as negative in New York. It's not even just, I don't pay attention to sports media in New York either. I'm just kind of living inside the Barstool bubble. And when this happened, I remember, you know, people on radio were trying to spin this into like, oh, wow, well, what a nice leader. Can I go home now? And this and that. They were trying to make Pedroia out to be the bad guy. It's to my understanding that Pedroia already met with the media at that point, and then he was literally walking out the door, like heading to his car, and they like stopped him and then like asked him more questions after he had already done his time, like answering questions. So that's why he's like, can I go home now? Because he already like, he got changed, he showered, did all that shit, answered questions. And then as he was getting ready to go, he got stopped like right before the door for like more questions.
The setup was kind of odd. I could tell it was not a normal interview setup. And if it was, yes, he would have had the whole pool of reporters around him.
So it must have been really annoying to, you know, be right about to leave. And then you go, oh, I got to do this even more. But we could, if we want to get the full story.
How would we get that?
On what happened there. Maybe we can ask him about it.
Where would we ask him about it?
The Section 10 Podcast is brought to you by Sox Signatures. Sox Signatures is the leader in autographs and game-used memorabilia of tomorrow's Boston baseball stars. Visit SoxSignatures.com today for unique items and the best prices on Sox prospects from Lowell to Boston. Use promo code Section 10 to get 10% off your first order at Sox Signatures.com. Maybe head on over to Sox Signatures and find yourself a signed Dustin Pedroia item. See if they got a unique Dustin Pedroia item. Maybe they got a signed shoe or a sandal.
Or a Sox Signatures classic game-used panties.
So head on over to SoxSignatures.com now for unique items and the best prices on Sox prospects from Lowell. That's the Lowell Spinners to Boston, the Major League affiliate of the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, we might have some big things coming up on this podcast.
I'm not even going to continue further because when we promise big things, we never deliver.
We bring little things like Pete Blackburn. He is little.
Or if we do promise big things, it takes 3 years to deliver on them.
It happens eventually. But yeah, I don't know. Based off the reaction, that video, by the way, on our Instagram has over 100,000 views. So I think that's a pretty simple answer that a lot of people did not see this video. So shout out to you people. I know Jared is just, he is so Mr. Baseball. And like, you cannot sneak anything past him, especially the Red Sox, a team that he grew up watching passionately and still does. So nothing gets by Jared ever, always. So obviously he saw it and we didn't, and we are less than Jared for that. But to all you people out there that are listening, they're like, I didn't see that video, so I'm kind of glad you posted it. I got your back, motherfucker. I got your back.
Where can they find that?
That's at the Section 10 Instagram account. It's at Section 10 Podcast.
Wow. That's great. That's great content, Steve. Good for you. That's good job, kid. Did a good job. It's a good job there, Kip.
Real quick, you want to talk winter weekend real quick or no?
Yeah.
That's a big update today, man. I was very excited because we again, like we just mentioned, we talk a lot of talk, but then a lot of times the walk is not there. But today we're walking.
Yeah. So this was I was nervous. I was a little nervous because now that I'm in New York, I cannot get away with nearly as much as when I was working remote in Boston. Before it was like, you know, I would wake up around 8, get to my office at home at like 9:30, casually blog throughout the day, and around like 5:30, I just shut my laptop and my day is done. Like that's it. Like I don't have to be on. I don't have to do anything. I watch the games, whatever. But now it's like you're in the office, you're in front of the boss. He sees everything that you're doing. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Dave Portnoy, actually Santa Claus. So I didn't know if he was going to be like, why were you sending you to this winter weekend thing? Like blah, blah, blah. So I had to go in there. It was like asking your dad for an allowance. And, you know, I sit down. I was like, I bet he probably thought that the conversation was going to be about something more serious. I was like, do you have a couple minutes? Yeah, what's up? Do you mind if I shut the door? Yeah, sure. He was like trying to figure out his new laptop. He just got a new laptop. So he's very flustered trying to figure that out. So right, I was like, maybe I can ask him while he's distracted and he can agree to something that he doesn't actually know he's agreeing to. So I sit down. So me and like fights and like Section 10, like there's this Red Sox thing in like a couple weeks and we want to go. Yeah, what is it? It's at Foxwoods. Okay, and like can like we go? Like you asking me for permission to do something on a weekend? Yeah, but like, so like, can the company send us? Yeah, sure. Like, just make videos and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Make content.
That word, content. If you were to ask me how I expected it to go, it would have been like, why do we need this? We don't, come on, Jared. Like, or, you know, Carabas, why do we don't have to do this? I would have expected him having more of a, this is unnecessary. But if only he knew winter weekend is one of the highlights of our year.
Yeah, well, we have to deliver. The pressure is on us now because in years past, we've been, I don't know that we didn't fail so much as we just didn't really try. Like there's been the years that we've said, yeah, we're going to go and we're going to fucking do podcasts like live from Foxwoods and we're going to get players on. Like we didn't actually try to do any of that stuff.
Yeah, it's not failing. If you don't try, it's not failing because you never try.
Right. Like we just went and just drank a lot and gambled and stuff like that. I think this year, you know, I'm not going to name names, but I think we have a good enough relationship with a few different guys who are going to be there. We might try to get them on the podcast, or we're definitely going to try. We're definitely going to try to get them on. But we won't name names because we don't want to promise things that we can't guarantee. But what I can guarantee you is that we're going to try. We're going to do our fucking best to deliver the content that the Section 10 listeners are craving during this offseason in which literally nothing is happening. So if there's multiple interviews that we do, we're not going to release them all in the same show. We're going to sit on some. We're going to release them as we go throughout the weeks leading up to spring training. So yeah, I think it'll be an interesting little project. And I think that also means, sadly, it might be better for entertainment. I was going to say we might have to watch our alcohol intake because the last thing you want to do is be like, hey, Benny Teddy, hey, you want to come back to my hotel room and podcast, though?
I'd be having them come back to the room for something else. I just think we definitely went in with the approach of, let's get some stuff, but let's also enjoy winter weekend. And then by the time we got there, it just turned into, let's just enjoy winter weekend. And then
we couldn't contain ourselves.
No, it was just once you get sucked into it, if you don't go in with a plan, you're dead. I think that's the big issue. We have to go in with the plan and know what we're doing, or else we're toast.
We also like went on our own dime in previous years. So it was like, I'm paying for this. Like, I'm going to have fun. Fuck it. Blah, blah, blah. But now it's like, all right.
Especially trying to justify the prices of some of the hotels. Like, you get extra drunk because you're trying to like make up for how much you made, or how much you spent rather, on the hotel room. So now we have a little more incentive to deliver. So I'm sure we will.
Yeah. And you know what? We're going to try our fucking hardest. We want to be delivering that A1 content for Section 10, because we've been promising it for 3 years. We're going to come through. This is the year. This is the year that we come through on our promises. We got merch, which, by the way, head on over to Barstool Sports store and pick out your Section 10 merch. We got that. Just a little friendly reminder that we have merch. We have a couple different Section 10 shirts. We got a pocket tee. We got a ladies tee. What's up, baby?
Hey, I see you, girl.
What's up, baby girl? I know you probably already got all your gifts from the holidays, but why don't you head on over to that Barstool Sports store and treat yourself? Probably got some American Express gift cards. Maybe got some cash from grandma. Why don't you invest in Section 10 ladies tee? Them titties be popping.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we definitely do have DMs.
We got some DMs?
Yeah, we got some DMs.
We got DMs?
We have some DMs.
Did the listeners submit some DMs?
The listeners
down the DM, bitch!
It goes down in the DM.
It go down
in the DM.
It go down.
It goes down in the DM.
It go down.
It go down in the DM.
It go down
in the DM, as always, brought to you by Ronald's Napkins. They clean your fucking face. First one comes in from Sarah. I feel like we talk about this way too much, but we will address it anyway. Sarah, well, first off, Sarah, how you doing?
Hey, Sarah, how you doing, baby?
Secondly, yeah, we see you, girl. How you doing? Secondly, here's Sarah's question. Who will the clubhouse leader be in 2018?
So I think that...
By the way, we're going to try to get through these quick because you guys fucking brought it with the DMs. These are all great.
All right, so we're going rapid fire. How many do we have? So just so I have an idea in my head.
It's like 15.
Okay, all right. So let's go rapid fire. Go back, listen to the interview that we did with Brock Holt here on Section 10. And he basically said that Dustin Pedroia, David Price, those are the leaders of the clubhouse. Chris Sale is another guy I think that is obviously a clubhouse leader. But for as much shit as David Price gets in the media, and Dustin Pedroia is now part of that as well, those guys are the leaders in the clubhouse, and their teammates love them. So I don't know why media thinks that their word carries more weight than the fucking players that are actually in the clubhouse on a day-to-day basis. But if a player who's been there since, what, 2013, tells me that Dustin Pedroia and David Price are great clubhouse leaders and great teammates, why should I believe fucking Dan Shaughnessy or whoever else is saying that they're clubhouse cancers when the players in the clubhouse are telling me that they're good leaders?
It's Dustin Pedroia. The hate that Pedroia got at the end of the year was moronic. I could not believe that. He's been the leader. He's going to be the leader. He'll be the leader. He could be the leader when he's not even on this fucking team. Next one comes from Thomas. Speaking of Dustin Pedroia, he goes, what is your favorite Dustin Pedroia moment ever?
Wow, that's a good question. Favorite Dustin Pedroia moment ever. There's been a lot of them. There's been a lot of great Dustin Pedroia moments over the years. The one that sticks out in my head is Game 7 of the 2007 American League Championship Series against... Actually, no. I changed this. The one that I'm about to say is my second favorite Dustin Pedroia moment. That would be, like as I was saying, Game 7 at Fenway. He bat flipped. I think it was a grand slam over the monster. That's the only bat flip that he's ever done in his fucking career. And it was his rookie season. So hypothetically, if we were to ever get Dustin Pedroia on the podcast, I'm going to ask him, why was that a fucking one-time deal with the little bat flip? It was a great bat flip.
I would not be surprised at all if someone told him, like, you know, watch it, Rook. Like, you're, you know, bat flip.
Maybe, but he's now a fucking, like, 10-year vet. But my favorite Dustin Pedroia moment of all time is the Jeff Francis story when he hits the home run in game one of the World Series to lead off the World Series in 07 against Jeff Francis of the Rockies. And then when they go to Colorado, he's trying to get in to the ballpark, and the security guy stops him and asks him who he is. And he was like, ask Jeff Francis who the fuck I am. I'm the one that took him deep, pal.
Oh man, Pedroia, like, I know he's got less of that now. Now he's a dad. He's, you know, he's a little more tame, but I want that PD all the time. Like, oh, you don't think I even belong here? I hit a fucking cock rocket in game one. It probably hasn't landed yet. My favorite, I don't know about favorite moment ever, but like, I love that story he told when David Ortiz legitimately forgot what his name was.
Yeah.
That was awesome. I think that was at the David Ortiz roast where he, cause Poppy would always call him Pee-wee, and then somebody else, like an ump, called him Dustin, and Poppy was like, what did he just call you? And he's like, Dustin, that's my name. He goes, oh, is that right? It's like, yeah, that's my name, bro. So that was pretty good. This comes from Jared, not Jared Carabas, another Jared. He goes, what was the worst New Year's hangover you've ever had?
The worst New Year's hangover?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can tell this story.
I was with like 20 girls at the time. All right, what do you got?
I don't even know if I can tell this story, Steve.
All right, this is rapid fire. Let's go.
It was the New Year's. I think I was a freshman in college. Yeah, I can't tell this story. It's
all right. These suck. I don't know. I just think New Year's is wildly overrated. I never have a great time. I always think it's decent. This year went to a Stranger Things theme party with my brother in Boston. That was actually a lot of fun. But I don't get wasted on New Year's. It's, I don't know, just to have a decent time.
I only had like one drink on New Year's this year.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, I think it's overrated, but I'm glad we're past it. Allison, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Allison? What's up, baby?
She goes, this is like we run a you know, small talk, whatever that show is on Nesson. What's the best way to break in a glove?
The best way to break in a glove, I get the oil that you put in the glove.
Oh, what's that? What's that oil from?
Models. So I put the oil in the glove. Very simple. Some people put their gloves in the oven. I was never an oven guy.
No.
I take the glove, put a baseball in it, put it under my mattress, and you sleep on it for like a week. You break that shit in real good.
I would always just throw the ball into my glove while I'm watching the Red Sox, and that would eventually do the trick. Let's see. Oh, we got a story here from Irene. Haven't seen that name. Irene, how you doing?
Hey, Irene.
She goes, I live in Pennsylvania and have noticed that there's a new Jeep in the parking lot at work that is always decked out in Red Sox stickers. Would it be wrong to put a note on the car with my Twitter handle so that we can tweet each other about the Red Sox? Is that too weird? I need your help. So, Irene, I think if we're talking about like the line between normal and weird, you're more towards weird right now.
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like that's, like, it's because they're out of state. Like, if you were in Boston and you just see this car that's like decked out in Red Sox stuff and you leave your Twitter handle, then they're gonna be like, what the fuck, bro? Like, that's my car.
No, but leaving the Twitter handle on like the car, if you were out of state and somebody did that, I'd be like, this person's gonna kill me.
Well, you can't just leave your Twitter handle. If you leave like a little note, it's like, hey, notice you're a Red Sox fan. I'm a Red Sox fan too. Like, us Red Sox fans gotta stick together. Here's my Twitter. Like, that's not weird.
That's fine. All right, I got a couple of rules. A, Irene, it can't be too long. If the note is too long, then you're probably going to kill
it. You seem like you're a stalker. Yeah, you seem like...
Yeah, and you probably have seen more than the stickers in the car.
They're going to
probably seen this person get changed.
They're going to read the note, and they're going to start looking around very nervously, being like, how long has this person been watching me?
By the second they're done with that note, they're going to be, you know, glad to be alive at that point. Yes, 911 is the next call.
Yes, I would say keep it to two sentences max.
Maybe three. I'd say three max. Maybe the last one's a little sign off and like go Sox. You have to end with go Sox. Have your Twitter handle in there, but don't make it too odd. Don't be like, please tweet me or like, we need to like connect on Twitter. Just leave it there. And if they reach out to you, they reach out to you. I don't know. The more we've talked about this, the more I'm kind of okay with it. Just don't be too weird about it and don't have it be too long because they're going to think that you're about to kill their ass, Irene.
You got to spray it with perfume and you got to put on lipstick and kiss it You got to kiss it so they know how serious you are about connecting on the internet.
Irene is about to get some from Jeep. Did they say just a new Jeep? This could be a guy or a girl. Irene might have found the one.
Yeah, you guys could get married out of this.
Yeah, I think we are in charge of a marriage, what we just gave there. Next one comes in from Gordon. Can't confirm or not if it's Gordon Hayward. We're going to say this from Gordon Hayward. He goes, plus or minus 20 home runs if David Ortiz came back to play next year.
As in like over under?
Yeah, well, just over under 20 home runs. Poppy comes back for 2018.
Over.
I had push.
I think he would, if he came back at the age of what, 41?
Yeah.
He could hit 26 home runs. He might hit like 231, but I mean, the fact that like his swing is a home run swing, like he's going to connect. And the fact he might even hit more than 26 because pitchers are going to be like, well, he's fucking 41 and he's hitting 230. Like he'd be like, I don't even know, just like fucking Adam Dunn type at this point, where it's like he's going to hit his 40 home runs, but he's going to hit 210 in the process.
Yeah. I mean, he'd probably try to go deep a lot too. So I don't know. I got him around 20 though. It's been, he had a whole year off and guys know he's David Ortiz. He's still David Ortiz. So I think he would still get the respect from the pitchers and not get a ton to hit. Next one comes in from Oliver. All right, next two are not baseball related, which we always encourage in the offseason. Give us all the random shit you got. So, Ollie.
Hey, Ollie. Hey,
Ollie. Ollie, Ollie,
Ollie. Ollie, Ollie, Oxenfrey.
Oi, oi, oi. He goes, would you, this is a, Ollie, shout out to Ollie.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
start keeping track of the best DMs. This is a new 2018 thing that just hit me right now. The best DM every episode is going to be in the mix. We're going to put you in a little pot. We're going to stir your ass up, and you're going to be in the mix for a free Section 10 tee.
Ollie goes,
would you rather not have your phone or any electronic device when you poop ever again, or never have Chipotle ever again? I think this is tough.
Oh, I'm giving up Chipotle immediately.
I gave up Chipotle, but it took me a little time. I love Chipotle. I probably have it 3 or 4 times a week, and you might even have it more than that.
Yeah, but I mean, there's other things that I can eat. Like, no, I'm keeping my electronics in the bathroom.
Yeah,
that's for damn sure.
I forgot to bring my phone in with me when I was pooping once, and it was like the longest 7 minutes of my life. Like that.
7 minutes?
I take my time. What is that? Is that a long time?
I'm in there for like at least 3 hours.
I write blogs on the toilet.
I write blogs in there. I fucking tweet in there. I'm doing everything, Steve.
Yeah. There are a few things more enjoyable than pooping and just scrolling Twitter. Everyone knows it. People don't talk about it, but we all know it. Next one comes in from Steve. He goes, would you rather lose your phone or your wallet?
Ooh, wow. Definitely my wallet, because I never carry cash. So like right now I have cash in my wallet because of Christmas. Like I got like cash for fucking Christmas, but yeah, I mean, I can get a new license. I can get a new fucking debit card. There's nothing in my wallet that it's like, I can replace that. If I don't have my phone, I mean, you can replace the phone, but like, it's just such a hassle. I would be devastated.
Being without a phone is the worst thing ever.
I'd rather die than lose my phone.
I left my phone in an Uber last month, and that was the longest day of my life trying to get that back. And you're just like worried that they're going through stuff, which I don't know, who even cares. But the wallet, you can replace that stuff. There's enough things in there that you can get back pretty quickly. The phone, like,
actually, one time, shout out to this person. I dropped my wallet in like a parking lot, and someone found my wallet and looked at my license and just put it in my mailbox.
That's next level stuff. That's almost worth a free t-shirt.
Yeah.
If you're listening now, we'll get you a free shirt. Next one comes in from Tyler. We'll make this one quick. We got to speed up. This is not a rapid round at all. He goes, who are your top three players to start a franchise with right now that are not pitchers?
Mike Trout, Nolan Arenado, and fucking
don't do it,
Bryce Harper.
Okay, good. I didn't want to have the same three. Trout, Arenado, Lindor.
Oh, you were picking Lindor. I thought I was gonna say Stanton.
Nah, no. How old is Giancarlo? 27, 28?
28.
Okay. Yeah, no, Lindor. I fucking love Francisco Lindor. If you could just give me Lindor and Arenado on the same, imagine if that was the left side of your infield, that would be orgasmic. Yeah. Next one comes in from Mark. He goes, will any MLB team sign any free agent the rest of the offseason? This is a valid question, Mark.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no as well. I think all these guys sit out the 2018 season. Mark, you might not see JD Martinez, Eric Hosmer play until 2020.
They might just sit out. Like, instead of signing pillow contracts, they might just sit out the year.
Their careers might be over, Mark.
True.
Next one comes in from Derek. He goes, who had the craziest New Year's night between you guys? It was not great. We're not in, like, you know.
We're, I mean, Fights might have a good story.
Fights might have a good story, but yeah, he was out. Fights still getting back in the swing of things. He was out skiing. I'm sure he drank a lot and wanted you to know how social and antisocial he was at the same time. I'm sure he had a good time, but
I bet you, yeah, I bet you he probably has a good story. I would say like the past 3 or 4 New Year's for me have been very, very low key. There was one year in the past 3 or 4 years where I think I was asleep before the ball dropped.
Yo, can we be honest right now?
Yeah.
Those are the best New Year's.
What, when you're just hanging in?
When you're just chilling. Anytime I go out, I'm like, why am I out? And then it's midnight and I just want to go home.
Like this year I was home with my family. I know last year I was at my friend's apartment and we played board games. And I think the New Year's before that we did the same thing. We just like stayed in and played like board games and like had a few drinks.
That's the good stuff. Like I know this year was fun because I don't get to see my brother too often. So it was fun to hang out with him. But yeah, just stay in. Don't make it that big a deal. This comes from Owen. And this is a great one. By the way, I'm going to change it. I'm so dearly sorry. But because of our answers being so quick, I got
sorry,
it.
Ole.
Ole, I'm so sorry, Ole. This isn't you. It's me, Ole. This comes in from Owen. I think this is the new best DM of the week. He goes, better phone screensaver. Alex Cora walking over the Big Poppy Bridge, or David Price yelling in the rain.
Ooh. So there's a technicality here. I will pick David Price in the rain, but if you have the photoshopped version of Cora walking away from an exploding car, that's the one that you would make as your lock screen. David Price in the rain, all-timer. Alex Cora walking across Big Poppy Bridge, also an all-timer, but it becomes the winner if it's the Photoshop picture of him walking away from an exploding car.
I've wanted that. I know Price is your guy. I think you and Fights probably like him more than I do. But
Cora's my guy. Funny, actually. No,
I know. I'm not.
Hold on. Humble brag here. Do you know the first person to text me and say Happy New Year?
Was it Alex Cora?
Alex Cora.
What?
First person to say Happy New Year to me was Alex Cora. He's fucking awesome. He's a great dude.
It's almost like, you know, when you have that new friend and they're almost like a little too nice. You know what I'm saying?
Are you trying to say that he's trying to butter me up?
Hey, he might be buttering you up a little bit. He might be.
You could just tell us that we're best friends.
No, I'm not at all. That's good for the show.
Yeah, we're best friends. Just like me and David Ortiz.
Yeah, you have a lot of best friends, apparently. I got to go with David Price. I mean that I've been wanting that moment for him for a while now.
What if it's the walking away from the blowing up?
The blowing up the car and the fire, that should be everyone's lock screen. And if it's not, you're an idiot. But no, I go with David Price. Is it the rain, the yell? It was perfect. And we all knew when we saw it, like, you know, with a lot of these photos that like, it's amazing. Right. When you see it, the David Price one was just that.
This comes screen from, is the section 10, sign.
Oh, good for you. I just got Fenway Pack.
Fenway Pack, dude. Right from the right field fucking bleachers, kid.
Where the Sox play, kid. My favorite team. Have some beers, watch the Sox.
Go fuck yourself.
Some chicks with big titties walk by. all right, next one comes in from Jake. He goes, which Red Sox player would make the best movie star? I'm just going to quickly answer this. Brock Holt. He's awesome. I think his timing is amazing. In terms of guests that we've had, I think his timing is better than anyone. Actually, Josh Wolf is a close... he's a comedian. He gets paid to do that. I think Brock Holt is hilarious. He's witty. He's funny. He's quick. Again, timing amazing. Good looking dude. I think he would do best with a script. What do you got?
I think Alex Cora should do the Bond films.
Next one comes in from Will. He goes, what is your favorite Ben and Jerry's flavor? And what would the Red Sox be called if they were a Ben and Jerry's flavor?
I've never had Ben and Jerry's. I just
What?
I just I either have mint chocolate chip with M&Ms and whipped cream or coffee. I feel like Ben and Jerry's is like for like girls that get dumped, right?
Are you fucking kidding me right now? You've never had Ben and Jerry's?
No, never.
What?
I've never had it.
Is this a joke?
I've never. When would I have had? Like, if I'm in the mood for ice cream, I'm gonna get what I like. And I, why would I like?
If I'm in the mood for ice cream, I get a pint of Ben and Jerry's and eat the whole thing, and it's the best experience ever.
Or you could be a man and get a gallon of mint chocolate chip and eat the like half the fucking thing.
I've never been more disappointed in you. This is terrible. You've never had Ben and Jerry's. Oh my god.
Sorry.
To answer the question, it's coffee, coffee, buzz, buzz, buzz. I don't like that they add the extra buzz at the end. I wish it was just coffee, coffee, buzz, buzz. Yeah. But it's a great flavor. You got coffee ice cream, favorite flavor, and then you got espresso chunks. And yeah, it's an amazing flavor. If the Red Sox were a Ben and Jerry's flavor, I don't know. Whatever a letdown is, that's the flavor they are. I don't know. You got anything for that?
I've been trying to think of something clever. Nothing's clicking.
Nothing's clicking. So they're letdown magic.
Like Alex Cora Sherbert.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it would be called. Something that, like, the first couple bites, you're like, is this good?
I don't know.
I don't know. We're going to
it's pretty good, but it would be a lot better if it had, like a big bat.
Yeah. Can you guys sprinkle a big bat in there? Just on the top. Yeah,
because it's pretty good, though. Like, it's pretty good.
We're going to need the bat now. So can you put the bat on now?
It'd be much better if you got a big bat in this ice cream.
Imagine eating ice cream. Who put this bat in my ice cream? What the fuck is this? I can't believe you haven't had Ben and Jerry's. Anyway, that is it for Down in the DM. As always, they are brought to you by Ronald's Napkins. They clean your fucking face.
Wow, what an evening, Steven, that you and I just shared together.
That was great.
That was great. I treasure our time together.
Yep, same.
I feel like you're not serious.
I treasure our time together, and it's something that I look forward to every single day.
Okay. You sure?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like you're very sure.
I'm pretty sure.
That's a pretty confident answer.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Don't seem very confident.
I'm pretty sure. We're back to it next week, back in the studio.
So we want to say thanks to our producer, Steve Peralt. You can check him out on Twitter at Steve_Peralt.
Just one.
_Peralt. You can follow the show on Twitter at Section10Pod and on Instagram. Hey, you're closing in on 10,000 followers.
Yeah, I'm completely unaware of that. I definitely am not counting down to 10,000.
How many you got left?
156.
All right, so if you're listening to this, unfollow Steve on
Twitter. People are going to do that. People are going to unfollow.
Unfollow Steve. Do not let him get to 10,000 until I say so. I'll let you know when you can have 10,000 followers. You can follow the show on Twitter. Be sure to follow the show on Twitter. It's a great Twitter. Steve loves to retweet his personal account from it. At
Matt Truittle.
Odd.
I don't stand for this Twitter bashing.
Podcast. Also on Instagram at Section10Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes and rate the show. And if you leave a review, then you'll be eligible for the review of the week that Steve prepares for us every single week. Right, Steve?
Oh, we got a great review here.
Oh yeah?
This is a hell of a review. This comes in from Viva 01991.
Okay.
The headline is Viva. Mm-hmm. The body of the review is Viva. That is the review of the week brought to you by Go Fuck Yourself.
Wow.
Let's step up the reviews. I know it's the end of the year. I know you got stuff going on. I know you got baby girls to feed. But
don't make excuses for them. How long does it take to write a review? Like,
not that long.
A minute? You can't give us a minute? Leave a review. It helps us out a lot. And Leaving reviews helps the show. Helping the show creates opportunities for us to go to Winter Weekend to get interviews. Interviews with people that you want to hear from, maybe. So help us. Help us help you. Helping us is helping us to help you.
If you cut onto that.
All right. Be sure to tell a friend. Also, if you're going to Winter Weekend, last year, the only reason why we got like a group of Section 10 listeners is because of Catherine Veritek. She was doing like an autograph giveaway of Jason Veritek 8x10s, and she was doing like an Easter egg hunt type thing where she was taking pictures of where she was in the casino and being like, all right, come find me here. Come find me here. The first person that finds me gets an autograph. She took a picture of where she was, and I was off in the background like 20 feet away, and then a bunch of people saw that and then came to where we were. So this year, because like I said last year, like I didn't realize that people wanted to like hang out with us. I know that sounds stupid, but I didn't realize that people wanted to like meet us. That's just, it goes over my head. This year, we'll actually tell you where we're going to be.
Yeah.
So if you want to hang out with us, talk some baseball, maybe drink some beers, maybe rip some shorts.
You know that. That was one of my favorite parts of last year is that Catherine Veritek had maybe a 5-minute conversation with this kid that was looking for Catherine Veritek.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome. He was like, yeah, like she tweeted out where she was. She said she'd be around here and have an autograph. Like, I don't know. Do you know where she is? She's like, no. But like, let me see that tweet. That looks really cool.
I'm
like,
let me see that picture of it. Wow.
Like, how long does this guy... My God, we're just giggling like little schoolgirls off in the corner. It's like, bro, obviously her. Like, that's her profile picture. That's her. Just fucking, he was oblivious, but
fucking idiot.
Fucking anyways, dumbass. So
get your fucking reservations for Winter Weekend. Come hang out with us. It's gonna be a good time. We're gonna get interviews. We're gonna drink beers.
Yeah.
We're gonna gamble all our money away.
Oh, that's a little dangerous. Got that Christmas money lingering.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Put that in your savings. And check out our sponsor, Sock Signatures at socksignatures.com. You use the promo code Section 10. Guess what that gets you, Steve?
10% off your first order.
10% off your first order at socksignatures.com. Also, download the SeatGeek app. And if you use the promo code Section 10, guess what that gets you, Steve?
An instant $20 rebate.
That gets you an instant $20 rebate. Off your first purchase, of course.
Oh, not everyone. Yikes. Wow.
All right. Well, see you next week.
When would I cuff you?
I've been a liar, been a thief, been a lover, been a cheat. All my sins need holy water. Feel it washing over me. Well, little one, I don't want to admit to something. If all it's going to cause is pain. Truth in my lies right now are falling like the rain, so let the river run.
He's coming home with his neck scratched to catch black. Sweat jackets and dress slacks mismatched on his breast jack. He's a sex addict and she just wants to exact a binge and get back. It's a chess match. She's on his back like a jetpack. She's kept track of all his internet chats. And guess who just happens to be moving on to the next? Actually just shit on my last chick and she has what my ex left.
All right. It's pretty good. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, bitch. Yes.
Yes, 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 yes. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
Why are people following me?
You know what you're doing, but it'll get annoying at times. Like this fucking photo right here. This photo is meant for every baby girl out there.
No, the other one. The other one is way more baby girly.
The little smirky dudes with, you know, it's like, here I left. I got a hammer in my hand. The other one is like you're praying with a... Yeah,
I mean, the other one, that bicep looks like you can fucking punch through a steel wall.
This is so stupid. Yeah. When I saw this go up, I was like, yep, yeah, okay, all right.
Okay.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the comments are just like, hey, baby. Oh, baby. You're looking huge, baby.
Are you looking at this fucking scarf, pal?
I'm looking at it. Was there something else I should look at? Is that it? It's just a scarf?
Well, I'm not
wearing the coat, but I have. I mean, it's a very nice coat.
The official Barstool coat?
No. This is, I do my own coats.
Yeah, the fact that it's on their dime, we can't just be drinking the whole time. That's true.
Yeah, we can't just like have a vacation.
Yeah. All right, I got it. Yeah. Super Bowl goals. I'm at the crib of Puff. He got Kaepernick on the phone. He in a whole different mode. Angel head, 2 a.m. for being whole. Just to show him how I treat the city like my humble abode. Hey, tell me if TD Bank is approving loans. I'm thinking of paying Wayne with Universal O's. My nigga spent a lifetime going platinum and gold. He should own half of the label, shit out of control. Somebody get Larry Jackson on the phone. I need some ownership if we press and go. Cause business is booming on behalf of me. I need a bite out of the apple like Adam and Eve. We gon' have to break the Billy curse. I need my paper long like a milliverse. Or too long like a sentence from a Philly judge. Fuck is the point in all the beefing when we really blood? Nobody wins when a family feuds, nigga. Everybody gotta eat, we can't exclude niggas. I'm in the crib expanding.